Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley in this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, October 2005. In August 2005, I introduced the topic of drugs in sport and began a discussion on their widespread use. Last month, I reviewed what side effects and risks the use of steroids carry. I answered the question, why do athletes use substances that are banned by the organizations they compete in, even if it means possible suspension for life or damage to the body? In this third and final segment devoted to this topic, I'll discuss the upside of steroid use, look at how they actually work, and then review a number of natural health products that actually help maximize lean muscle mass to its fullest genetic potential without any side effects. Are there benefits to taking drugs? Well, it's common knowledge that steroids and many other anabolic substances increase size and strength, and in some cases, remarkably quickly. Yet, I have in my possession a new university textbook edition of exercise physiology, which states that it is unclear whether steroids have a true anabolic effect or not. How anyone can maintain this position in light of all the evidence to the contrary mystifies me. It is rare to find an athlete across the globe who doesn't acknowledge how effective and reliable anabolic steroids are. So this is just another example of how athletes in the field are so far ahead of the white coats in the labs that don't use the products, experiment on themselves, or advocate research protocols that duplicate real-world administration. For example, at an annual meeting of the American College of Sports Medicine in Denver, Colorado, a case study on a 26-year-old bodybuilder with a 6-year history of heavy androgen use was presented. Over a 12-week period, which included a 4-day-a-week resistance training program, he received 5 different steroids for a total 12-week dose of 6,355 milligrams, which is about 75 milligrams a day. The steroids included nandrolone decatenate, boldenone undecyclinate, methanolone acetate, testosterone cypionate, and a blend of testosterone. Hormone assays showed a 256% increase in testosterone, a 71% decrease in follicle-stimulating hormone, and a 72% reduction in luteinizing hormone. His sperm count dropped from 43 million per cc to 0.4 million per cc, and 4 weeks after the cycle, he went into a severe depression. This fellow gained 13.2 pounds of body mass and decreased his body fat from 14.9% to 11.9%. He also got leaner and stronger and gained over just a pound a week. So experts agree that emphasizing the negative side effects through scare tactics alone does not reduce the use of steroids. The best strategy is to tell the truth. This is the method I use. No BS, plenty of facts, and plenty of positive alternatives, meaning hard training, real food, and good quality supplements, but knowing when to take them and why. Since steroids were changed in status in medicine and law, their use has increased, especially among young teenagers and high school students. So much for the DEA's war against drugs. That's the most pathetic effort. Their concept, their technique and tack is way out of line. Young people seldom consider anything except the immediate benefits. 200 milligrams weekly of injections of testosterone enanthate, for example, will increase muscle mass without any training. So you can see the appeal. It's true that not everyone receives the same exact benefits from the same steroid, but then that's true with virtually anything in life. The use of growth hormone combined with insulin and insulin growth factor by injection is recognized as an extremely effective anabolic combination to enhance strength, recovery, and size. However, the risk to one's health is enormous. Not only can injecting a non-diabetic with insulin lead to severe vascular damage and coma, but this deadly trio will destroy the immune system and cause irreversible damage to organ systems over the long term. A very definite correlation exists between the rate at which value is gained and the risks involved to health. More value, more risk. More steroid, more damage. A slow, natural, methodical approach takes much longer. This is the best way, but it builds true, lasting health and high-quality functional muscle tissue that sticks. If you choose to move forward at light speed and take the drugs, then you must prepare all systems for damage control. You most likely will survive, but not without paying a price. And that price, my friend, is something that you have to really consider. Think clearly about what the risks are. If a steroid is injected, its message is carried directly into the bloodstream. Let's get into how these things actually work now. Oral steroids must pass through the liver after being absorbed from the GI tract. This first pass may cause some hepatic damage, which is why injectable steroids have some advantage over the oral forms. Once in the bloodstream, the steroid links up with a receptor on a muscle cell, an endocrine gland, or a certain region of the brain. A receptor steroid complex is formed, which then travels to the cell's nucleus. DNA is influenced to amplify transcription, and this message is sent out by messenger RNA, which sets in motion an increase in protein synthesis. Anabolic steroids also increase the production and storage of creatine phosphate. Obviously, higher concentrations of creatine phosphate favor strength and energy provision. Nitrogen is retained and utilized more efficiently on roids. A positive nitrogen balance is forced, which provides the mechanism of supply to the altered rate of increased protein synthesis and demand. Blood volume may increase by 10 to 20%, which increases blood flow to working muscles. The potential to store glycogen also increases. Both of these effects may increase muscle cell volume, which makes muscles appear fuller or bulkier. Steroids also inhibit cortisol activity, which pushes the turnover of protein metabolism and ribosomal activity in favor of growth. The trick is to come up with the right form in the right dose using your own body as a living experiment. Steroids in and of themselves are not a bad thing. In fact, they are one of the greatest medical discoveries of the 20th century. If it were not for steroids, there are people who wouldn't be alive today. But what we are discussing is not the use of steroids for people who are ill, injured, immunocompromised, or diagnosed with AIDS. What we are really talking about is abuse of these drugs and the ethics pertaining to their use for enhancing performance in healthy adults and athletes. Steroids have a pharmacological value. Pharmacology is a science that studies the effects of drugs on living organisms. Testosterone has definite medicinal application, and if used correctly without abuse, is less toxic to the health of a user than what we as a society seem to perceive. For example, testosterone is administered to men to treat testicular degeneration and to women for the treatment of menopause and depression. Small amounts are given that are more like the amounts the body naturally produces. As I've mentioned, anything has potential for toxicity, even something perceived as good. So balance, dosage, frequency, motive, these are the key considerations. Injectable testosterone therapies require relatively high doses to achieve their effect. They also produce highs and lows of hormone levels that are unlike the normal pattern produced by the synchronized chemistry of the body's natural hormone cascade. A much safer approach is transdermal delivery. For example, the Androderm patch can be applied on the skin of the back, belly, thighs, or upper arm. In this manner, the steroid is absorbed through the skin in a more gradual manner. The patch delivers pure testosterone and can achieve normal levels without excess conversion to dehydrotestosterone or DHT. Excess DHT is linked to prostate hypertrophy and hair loss. And we don't want any of that, do we, boys? The testosterone delivered by the Androderm patch enters through your skin directly into the bloodstream. The center of each patch contains a testosterone gel. The edges of the patch are coated with adhesive to hold the patch in place on the skin. The round patch contains 12.2 milligrams of testosterone, which delivers approximately 2.5 milligrams of testosterone over a 24-hour period. The oval patch contains about double, 24.3 milligrams of testosterone, which delivers approximately 5 milligrams of testosterone over a 24-hour period. Those who try a cycle of steroids or experiment with EPO or human growth hormone soon discover from others more experienced the multiple advantages of combining whatever it is they're using with other substances. This reminds me of how people might initially take a prescribed medicine for a certain disease and then have to take another medication for the side effects of that medication and then another to offset the effects of a certain enzyme or the effects on the liver, the heart, kidney, or whatever, damage to the brain. And then another and another and so on. Eventually people are taking like 9, 12, 15 pills a day. And it all started off with one. With reference to doping in sport, additional drugs are commonly added in the same way to enhance the desired effect, to mask detection, or counter negative side effects. In this scenario, Pandora's box opens and the stage for negative emotion and paranoia is now set. Here's how it works. In the short term, results often come quickly, and in some circles, especially in bodybuilding, the outcome and change of physique can be dramatic. So much so, in fact, that everywhere you go, people gawk at you because of your massive muscular bulk or incredible muscular definition. The attention received is comparable to that of a celebrity or the kind of high people experience with recreational drugs. At the highest level of attainment, such as the Mr. or Miss Olympia or Mr. or Miss Universe, you're so big, muscular, and ripped that to the average person, you don't look real or even human. I think alien is a good description. The sensation of feeling muscular and looking unbelievable can be so strong emotionally that it creates euphoria and the feeling of wanting more. If you hit the right dose or drug combination, or if you're a good responder, the drugs can make you feel like Superman or Superwoman. Then it's just a matter of time before you add something else or take something stronger to get what you want. You want more. You want more. When does it end? After a cycle or two, the motivation for continued use becomes more than what it was when you started. Sometimes fear creeps in, depending on your emotional state, and the fear of losing the strength and muscle you now possess becomes so strong that the thought of not using the artificial substance becomes unthinkable. This is why some athletes who start using steroids and initially said they were just going to try them can't stop taking them. The power and strength gained, or the fame and notoriety that come with artificial aesthetics and winning, are comparable to the drugs themselves. They can overtake even the most logical mind. Big money and media attention are powerful things. The fear isn't about damage to the body or the risk of incarceration. That's long gone or never was. The fear is about becoming something less. Compounding this is the recognition you get from your peers, family, children, the media, and even your country. This new position of credibility and social status is pretty hard to resist. Soon, though, another fear arrives. It starts to eat away at you from the inside, unless you have no conscience at all. It is perhaps the worst fear of all, and it never goes away. It's the fear of being discovered, of losing your reputation, of being known as a cheat or a loser. The fear and the anxiety that comes from wondering what everyone will say or think when they find out. In contrast, is it possible to build a well-developed muscular physique without drugs? To achieve athletic success and become a natural bodybuilding champion? Absolutely! Wholesome living and hard basic training plus natural foods equal optimum natural health and a very impressive, attractive physique. Why not train and achieve your highest potential first without drugs, using dietary supplements, high quality food, and the science of sports nutrition to guide you? The benefits are awesome, and there are no negative side effects, no shame, no guilt, and no regrets. Steroids can definitely take you beyond your natural genetic potential. That's a given. It's obvious. But those who have used them seldom ever reach their natural potential before succumbing to the temptation of yet more drugs. Living on credit means a huge debt must be paid in the end. It's like a credit card. You walk in the store, buy now, pay later. When it comes to buying, you may not have what it takes to pay off your debt. I recommend the juice every morning for the rest of your life. Fresh carrot juice, that is, or any kind of fresh juice. Freshly squeezed organic plant juice contains a gold mine of vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, something that steroids have none of. It also provides one of the purest forms of water and energy value known. Let's get back to the basics and become students of the highest order. It's called natural living. Make health on every level your number one priority, because without it, life is miserable and at best barely tolerable. Optimum health is freedom, independence, liberty, and true wealth. There are many natural health products that can enhance the process of growth and recovery without the side effects of anabolic steroids. Let's look at them. Creatine monohydrate, for example, has been called a natural steroid, but instead of damaging the heart or increasing risk of organ damage, it actually improves cholesterol metabolism and strengthens the immune system. It even protects neurons in the brain from damage. So let's have a look at just a few supplements that can reliably maximize lean muscle mass to the fullest natural genetic potential. Comprised of leucine, isoleucine, and valine, the branched-chain amino acids possess branch-like side-chain atoms unique to each amino acid. These are the metabolically active sites of each molecule. Branched-chain amino acids take up about 35% of the essential amino acids found in muscle tissue and are oxidized inside muscle cells as a source of energy during physical activity. The body converts leucine to glucose during exercise in an effort to maintain optimal levels of glucose and ATP in the blood. Branched-chain amino acids have a protein-sparing effect on the body by indirectly increasing anabolism. The release of several anabolic hormones, such as human growth hormone and insulin, are stimulated or influenced directly by branched-chain amino acids. Leucine is especially good for preventing the degradation of lean mass. In conditions of severe burn, bacterial infection, and physical injury, leucine has earned a reputation of protecting muscle from being catabolized. 2 to 4 grams of branched-chain amino acids can be taken throughout the day in several doses on an empty stomach, along with 1 to 2 grams of L-glutamine for optimal muscle growth activity. Whey protein isolate is an excellent source of branched-chain amino acids, and both ketoisocaproate, or KIC, and HMB, beta-hydroxymethylbutyrate, can be used as substitutes for leucine, or they can all be combined together. Hey, the more the merrier. Let's build some muscle. Protein shakes and high-quality meal replacements, or MRPs, are the athlete's most reliable and practical tool when it comes to sports nutrition. And let's face it, if you're not into shakes, you're not on the page that you need to be. Protein shakes are the staple. They're the foundation. It's like the iron in the gym. Can you actually build muscle without throwing any iron around? I don't think so. How are you going to get the protein your body needs without taking protein shakes? Are you taking meals 6 times a day and do you have 6 chicken breasts or maybe 2 with each meal? Not likely. So the protein shake is practical. Anyone committed to building muscle can take advantage of MRPs. Maintaining a positive nitrogen balance is crucial to the process of recovery and an increased rate of protein synthesis. And without sufficient protein, it is impossible to maintain a positive nitrogen balance. Let's get back to creatine. We've learned that loading isn't essential as long as the maintenance dose is adequate and taken post-workout when the demand for replenishment is high and conditions for absorption and uptake are ideal. Creatine is absolutely safe and effective for children, runners, and grandmothers. Even guys like me, I'm a grandpa now. Evidence against using it does not exist. Period. End of story. If anybody tells you that creatine is harmful in any way, they do not know what they are talking about. They are without knowledge, i.e. ignorant. Ineffectiveness is almost always a function of insulin resistance. If they're not getting value out of creatine, think insulin resistance. Dosage and timing is everything, as well as product quality. Use your lean mass in kilograms as a reference chart for dosage. Muscle endurance, energy, and power all rise to the occasion when creatine is used correctly and systematically. I'm using it for life. I hope you will too. Acetyl L-carnitine is another great product. This is excellent for boosting acetylcholine and improving dopamine activity in the brain, which indirectly influences the hormone cascades that regulate testosterone production. You can't get at testosterone directly, so we can influence other hormones that can speak to it. When athletes inject various analogs of testosterone, levels of carnitine palmitoyl transferase 1 tend to increase. This enzyme, located on the outer surface of the mitochondrial membrane, converts the fatty acyl-CoA to acyl-carnitine for transport to the inner side of the mitochondrial membrane. This is to the inner side from the outer side. Once transported inside, CPT2 reconverts the acyl-carnitine back to fatty acyl-CoA for beta oxidation. So we get some good fat burning out of this steroid application. Anabolic steroids appear to activate this carnitine transport system, which may account in part for the loss of subcutaneous fat that some athletes crave. So as an alternative, try using acetyl L-carnitine, which does kind of the same thing. Take about 500 to 2,000 milligrams in the morning upon rising. I like to do it before my workout. Another good one is L-carnosine. L-carnosine is a multifunctional dipeptide that can help athletes heal from sports injuries, boost their endurance levels, stimulate immune function, and improve recovery faster from intense training regimens. Carnosine, which consists of the amino acids beta-alanine and L-histidine, acts as a pH buffer, protecting muscle cell membranes from oxidation under the acidic conditions of muscular exertion. Carnosine also enables the heart muscle to contract more efficiently through enhancement of calcium response to and in heart myocytes. These are the cells, the skeletal muscle cells in cardiac tissue. Carnosine exhibits antioxidant activity and plays an important role in muscle contractility. Levels decline with age. Muscle levels decline 63% from age 10 to age 70, which may account for the age-related decline observed in muscle mass and function in masters athletes. Carnosine is utilized enzymatically in ways that allow ATP to supply muscle with the energy they require to contract. So carnosine is another good one. So let's focus on nutrients that enhance insulin sensitivity, that great anabolic edge, insulin. And remember, it's a two-edged sword. How you eat and when you eat, the kinds of food you bring in is going to influence insulin, turn you into a fat-storing machine or a fat-burning machine. So the good supplements that are associated with improving insulin sensitivity include lipoic acid, vitamin E, magnesium, zinc, chromium, vanadium, and the omega-3 fatty acids. And how important are they? When the system is running smoothly and workouts are on track, good food and natural health products can and do have an enormously positive impact. So let's consider these as alternatives to steroids. Let's take your body, mind, and soul to its maximum genetic potential first, before you ever even think about using anything artificial. And believe me, if you take it to that level, you won't want them. You'll be so satisfied with what you've created. It's real, it's raw, and it's natural, baby. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American author Joe Kudert. You do not need to be loved at the cost of yourself. The single relationship that is truly central and crucial in life is the relationship you have with yourself. Of all the people you will know in a lifetime, you are the only one you will never lose.